Good evening and welcome to the Big Z Sports Extra Point Show, presented by Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance. Tonight, the guys will recap last week's games, discuss the season, and talk with area coaches and players. Tonight's broadcast is brought to you by TMK Valley Propane, Dr. Nathan Springer DDS, and Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance.
Welcome into the Big Z Sports Show on Z Country 99.9, the Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance, Joe Geckler and Nick McWilliams. We are here in the Hartsler's Quality Housing Studios and, of course, going to talk a little high school football with you here tonight in our weekly Extra Point Show. And this week, we're going to welcome in the Indian Valley Braves coming off a huge win on the hill in Sugar Creek last week against the Garraway Pirates. We'll run down their season with head coach Matt Lancaster and, of course, welcome in his four captains that are here in the house tonight. And that's going to be Zach Love, Noah Wells, Ty Myers, and Colby Hartrick in the house. They're feeding their face right now thanks to Tenwood Tavern.
Yeah, I mean, I would be doing the exact same thing if I didn't have to sit here in this seat and not turn your mic on, which
Just leave my mic on. You can go eat and I'll talk to
There we go. All right. I'm a fan of that.
Let's recap week number eight of the high school football season last week. First of all, the Indian Valley Braves, they beat Garraway 42-13 in our Sarshoon Ford of Waynesburg game of the week. And Indian Valley, great performance led by Zach Love. Huge game on the offensive side of the ball. An interception right before half kind of changed the momentum going into halftime as well.
And, I mean, 243 yards on the ground, four touchdowns, and you also add in those two-point conversions. Kind of the Swiss Army knife is the phrase I like to use. And seems like year in and year out, Indian Valley always seems to find a way to have a player like that who you can sometimes lean on if you have to, or a kind of guy who can really hurt you in all facets of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk to Coach Lank about that coming up here in just a little bit. But next game, Ridgewood, they beat Tuskegee Valley 48-7. Ridgewood continues to roll towards the playoffs as they sit number one in their region. And they, again, they beat Tuskegee Valley 48-7. New Philadelphia, they knocked off Marietta 49-14 in a game that I think that's what we expected to happen last Friday night with New Philadelphia. Traveling, you know, a long bus trip, but you get down there, a lot of things happen in the first quarter, and the game was really in hand after one.
Yeah, I mean, if I remember correctly, Gent Joseph was part of the reason that game got out of hand so quickly. I mean, we've seen week in and week out that Gent seems to make a play on special teams, makes plenty of plays on offense. When you pair him with other offensive weapons like Sam Zenas, Baron May, Austin Cole,
sure.
I mean, how do you stop the Quakers at this point?
Sure.
I don't think there's really any simple solution to that at all.
Just try to contain them and do your best to score on them.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the surprising score of week number eight was this next game, and that's Dover traveling to Zanesville, knocking off the Blue Devils 35-21. Not that we didn't think Dover could go down there and win, but as good as Zanesville is this year, and Dover struggled a little bit, and we all know that. That's been well documented. But going down there and getting a huge win 35-21 over the Blue Devils, that really keeps Dover in playoff contention. They're still going to have to win out to get in. But, you know, they're sitting number nine in their region now. But a big win for them.
Look, not to make Tornadoes fans a little bit nervous here or anything, but winning out would mean that you have to beat the number one team in Division III. And, oh, by the way, who's that team?
In Ohio, not just in the region.
Yeah,
exactly.
So there's a little added incentive to that. But the Tornadoes definitely on the right side of things now again, after we kind of already let them out to dry and say that their playoff hopes were pretty much gone, but not an easy road ahead for them, for
it's
sure.
It's not. Tough game this week, of course, and they have Marietta at home, and then they have, of course, Philly in week number 10. So it's a tough two games for the Tornadoes to get in, but you know what? Stranger things have happened, so we'll see what happens. Sandy Valley, they continue to roll as well, 41-6 over East Canton. Cam Blair, another huge game.
Yeah, we just kind of expect that from Cam at this point, but the one thing that I want to note is I think it's all lost and won in the trenches, as always, and I know plenty of coaches would agree with that, and I think Sandy Valley's got the offensive line to continue to provide Cam Blair the time that he needs to make all the plays that he does. You know, we know that he set the Stark County passing career touchdown record not too long ago, and there's for good reason. Yeah, Cam is a fantastic dynamic athlete, but it also helps when you've got guys who are as large as Sandy Valley's offensive line is helping block for you.
Yeah, big line. They have the skill players as well to help catch those passes from Cam Blair. Next game, we're going to talk about Newcomerstown. They get their fifth win of the season. 55-28 over Claymont. Huge night for one of the Trojan running backs.
Yeah, Wyatt Connor, 316 yards, four touchdowns. I'm not sure. I think it's 25 carries or somewhere around in there. I'm probably way off on that. I apologize if I am, but How many was it?
31.
31. Okay, never mind. Well, see, I was bumping up his average there just a little bit. Yep. So Wyatt is a player that we know. We said before the season that he could end up having some big impacts for the Trojans, and he definitely has to this point. And I think New Cumberstown showed that they have that attitude this year that they needed to get back on the winning side of things, which was to keep pounding, to keep pushing forward, and to not give up no matter what. I mean, after 24 losses, the fact that that desire and that heart is still in that team, I mean, well, the end score right there kind of shows you what will end up happening if you believe in it long enough.
Sure, absolutely, and a huge win for them, again, proving to 5-3 on the year. Last time New Cumberstown won five games, I think it was 2013 or maybe 2014, huge milestone for them after having a rough couple, three, 4 years there in New Cumberstown. Buckeye Trail, they get past TCC 52-7. Carrollton's struggles continue a little bit. The Alliance gets them 21-12.
Yeah, I've just been confused week in and week out by the Warriors just because certain pieces are there. There are things that seem to happen each game where it's like, okay, well, there's your building block, and if the other side of the ball or if these other little things go right, you're actually on the winning side of this. I mean, this was another example. Carrollton's defense, not a poor game by any means, giving up 21 points, but then you have the offense that sputtered and wasn't able to find the end zone, and that's just the story of the year for Carrollton so far.
Yeah, it's if I remember right, looking, because I wasn't here Friday night, I think looking, I saw at one point Carrollton was winning late in the game, and then Alliance came back and knocked them off. So a big win for West Holmes. They get past West Branch 56-34. That was a huge win for their momentum to go into the last two games of the season. They have Ashland. They have Mount Vernon left as well. So a big win for Coach Gardner and his club.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it wasn't a perfect game by any means, and I'm sure that Coach Gardner would agree with that. I know quarterback Noah Clark threw a couple interceptions. The team had a couple turnovers, things that you don't want to see, but you know, you don't always have to demand perfection. You have to demand that you have to do your job and make and ensure that you are on the right side of things by the end of the game. Pardon me. It's a long day. I lose my voice by the end of it. Just a positive thing for the Knights whenever you're able to put 56 points up in a game that I thought would be a little bit closer than it ended up being. It just shows, once again, that Coach Gardner's got a lot of good things going down there in West Holmes. It's just going to take time considering what they lost this year to injury and to graduation before that.
Sure, absolutely. In the final two games, Canaan Valley, they get past, is it Bellsville or Billsville?
Look, we had this argument throughout. Bealsville, Bellsville, I'm not sure, but regardless, the Rockets 22-19 win there.
Absolutely. And Strasburg, they fell to Malvern 33-26. But now we're going to welcome in Indian Valley head football coach Matt Lancaster as he joins the program. And coach, first of all, man, nice to have you back in the show. And thanks for taking time out of your week to come in and join us.
Always good to be in here with you guys.
Well, coach, let's go back 7 weeks, if you can remember back that far, and go back to week number one. You guys played at Coshocton, first game of the season, and I think everybody is well documented that what you guys lost from last year, and I think coming into the season, we were unsure what Indian Valley was going to be like this year. Well, we come into the Coshocton game, and we're like, okay, how's this going to happen? We know about Zach Love, we knew about a couple other players, but you guys come out and put 42 points on the board and only gave up 7, and beating a Coshocton team. That's a tough place to play, going down to Coshocton. But you guys really performed well week one. Not really knowing what you had from last year, but you knew going into it all along what you had.
Yeah, you know, I told my coaches and the kids, I don't know that I've been more excited for a season opener.
Sure.
In a long time than this year, because we'd heard that all off season, you know, the kids we lost, they were great kids, and we love them. We wanted to make it about this year's group, you know, and we felt that we were going to, be able to have a competitive squad, and our kids had worked hard all off season with kind of that chip on their shoulder that that it's their turn to prove themselves. So it was pretty exciting, you know, to come into that opener against Coshocton, and we were able to execute well. I think we scored the first six times we had the ball. We scored and only gave up two or three first downs. So that's what we wanted. We wanted to make a statement in that first game to say, hey, we're still Indian Valley, and we lost some kids from last year, but these kids this year, they're going to fight hard too.
Coach, you know, Chris Cale keeps joking about how you can maybe not upset with him, but the fact that he kept talking about last year and he wasn't supposed to do that. So whenever you have that kind of outside talk, whenever people know that you've lost quite a bit from your team in the year prior and moving forward, you know you've got the players, you know you've got the skill. How difficult is that to instill that into those players and go, look, you can't listen to this. You just have to go out there and do what you can do.
Oh, no. Chris did me a favor.
Oh, okay.
He did us a favor. You know, I wanted everybody to say that. You know, I wanted everybody to talk about last year's team and all the kids we lost. And, you know, because I knew it was getting under our kids' skin that, sure. You know, hey, we're going to be okay. And, you know, we've seen it before. I talked to our kids about it. You know, not to sound arrogant, but we've lost kids before. And we've come back the next year and been competitive. And so I really felt we were going to be able to. And I knew our kids believed in that. And it was nice to see week one that they did believe in it because we came out and we played well.
And you mentioned that in coming into week number two. The next game, Manchester, always a very physical game between the two of you. Every year, it's always somebody gets hurt, or it's just a physical beat 'em up, that knockdown, drag out kind of game. And even us here at Big Z Sports, we still were like, okay, they're going to be really tested this week. Let's see what Indian Valley has. 42-14, you show us a little bit in that game as well. So we're starting to drink the Braves Kool-Aid again. And after that big physical performance and a great performance against Manchester, you guys improved to 2-0.
Yeah, like you said, we love that game. You know, Coach France and his program, we have the utmost respect for. And we always joke around that we'd like to not have a ball for that game, just go in a parking lot and have a brawl. And sure. Whoever comes out on top, you know, is the winner. But, yeah, we were able to execute. They had some really good players. I mean, the right kid that's, you know, going to Duke. And they've come along. I mean, obviously, they haven't had the success that, you know, they wanted to have. But look at what they did to Northwest last week. Beat them 39-0, so they're a solid team, and that was definitely a good win over a good program in week two.
Ethan Wright has seemed to almost obliterate every opponent he goes up against, but somehow you guys have the formula cracked on how to limit him. What in the world has gone into that?
You know, it's not a secret. It's just a great effort. Our kids just getting to the ball, you know, and our coaches do a great job of coming up with a game plan. Obviously, we got to have a game plan every week, and when you got a player like that, he's going to be your focus. And our kids take pride in it that, you know, one kid is not going to beat us. It's going to take a whole team. And, you know, for the last 3 years, we limited them to under 100 yards every game. And our kids have just taken pride in that and have been able to execute the game plan.
So after week number two in the post game that night, we talked to you and said, all right, coach, we're fully drinking the Braves Gatorade or, you know, the Kool-Aid. And we're not going to talk about last year's team anymore. We're not doing that anymore. So come up week three and two. And this is going to be your biggest test of the season to date, you know, up to week number three. And, of course, other games in the IVC. But up to week number three, Indian Creek was going to be your toughest battle. As you look at the final score of winning there, 14-13, they open up a new facility, brand new turf, all kinds of stuff going on out at Indian Creek. You guys get a huge, huge win there.
Yeah, that was, and I was glad you guys said that too, because I told our kids, hey, we're done proving people wrong. We're fighting for each other now. You know, it's not about proving people wrong anymore. But like you said, Indian Creek, you know, we knew that was going to be a tough test. New team on the program, on the schedule. We didn't know a whole lot about them. We know they got a solid program, and then when we saw them on film, we thought, wow, this is a good team. You know, this is a playoff caliber. Team, and they proved to be that playing at their place, a new place, on their opening night on the new turf. You know, it was a tough environment. It was a playoff environment, but that's why you coach, and that's why their kids play, you know, for those types of games. And it was a great night. We were fortunate to pull it out with a block PAT, you know, near the end of the game, and made a great play to end the game too by taking a knee after Zach got the first down and took a knee. They were going to let us score, you know, to try and have a chance to get the ball back. So that was a real heady play on his part.
Sure.
And we were fortunate to get out of there with the win. I mean, they're 7-1 right now, you know, in their own region, sitting near the top of it.
Coach, with a blocked extra point, is that a perfect teaching lesson to be to tell your players that every single part of the game matters no matter what? It might seem minuscule when it happens, but look what ended up happening here.
Yeah, and we've used that a number of times this year too, because there's been a number of times where one little thing, you know, a special teams play like that, you know, ended up being a key momentum changer or a difference points wise in the game.
So going in to week number four now, you guys are sitting at 3-0 with a huge win at Indian Creek the week before. Big Z Sports, we're out there. We get our first chance to see you guys for the season in person. Of course, Shannon's there every week, but everybody here in the studio doing live play-by-play, and Sandy Valley comes to town. Both teams are 3-0. We know what kind of team Sandy Valley is. Prolific. They can throw the ball over the field. And you guys come out with a physical mentality of, you know what, you're not doing that to us on our field. And you guys get a 42-21 win. And I don't know if the score even was that close.
Yeah, our kids played really well, you know, against Sandy Valley. They get a tremendous offense. Obviously, you guys already talked about Cameron Blair. You know, sure, he's a great quarterback, and he's added a dimension to his game this year with running the ball, and their coaches use him very well, and, you know, they're very well coached. So coming into our place, you know, we were excited for it, two undefeated teams, and sure, our kids played very well, executed the game plan. They had a little different offensive game plan of trying to keep away with our offense and running the ball a lot more than what we'd seen, and they executed it early on, but we were able to come out on top.
Now, when you go against a team like a Sandy Valley that likes to spread the ball around four or five wide every time, you see that with Garraway, you see that with Ridgewood, but when you see a team like that, does that change your defensive mentality of saying, I'm not going to go to a 50 defense, I'm going to go to a 3-3-5, or change it up a little bit?
Yeah, we adjust to, you know, what the offense does, obviously, week to week, and you know, we've seen a lot of spread offenses in the past couple years and continue to refine what we do. But each spread is different as sure, well, you know, and how you treat it. What are they doing? Are they trying to spread you out to run the ball? Or are they, you know, trying to spread you out to get their athletes the ball in space? So we just got to figure out what they're trying to do. What do they want to do? And then do our best to try and take it away.
Absolutely. So Indian Valley now is sitting at 4-0 after week number four. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and we're going to talk about the next four games with head coach Matt Lancaster. Don't forget, like Big Z Sports on Facebook, WTUZ Big Z Sports. You can follow us on Twitter at @big_Z Sports, and of course the Weaver Appliance text line 330-339-9399. Again, we'll continue our conversation with head coach Matt Lancaster. You're listening to Big Z Sports Extra Point, presented by Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance, right here on Z Country 99.9.
Now back to Big Z Sports on 99.9.
Welcome back to the Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance Extra Point with Joe Geckler, Nick McWilliams, and we welcome back Indian Valley head football coach Matt Lancaster. And coach, we already talked about the first four games of the season. Now let's get to week number five. You travel down to Lohr City and take on Buckeye Trail, get a big win 34-15. Game may have started a little slow for you, if I remember correctly, in that, but you guys put the heat on in the second half.
Yeah, we think Buckeye Trail's you know, a very good team this year. I'm kind of interested to see how their game with Sandy Valley goes.
Sure.
Because both teams we feel are very solid squads. But yeah, we were able to you know, eventually offensive line controlled the line of scrimmage. And I forgot to mention about Sandy Valley, you know, both those 2 weeks, Sandy Valley and Buckeye Trail, we were without two of our best players in Zach
right.
Love and Kent Shoeball. And both of those games, Shane Thornton stepped in at tailback. Nobody had ever heard of him before. Hadn't really got a whole lot of varsity reps other than special teams, and he ran for 200 yards in each of those games and 10 touchdowns in the 2 weeks. So it was great for the young man and great for the team as well to have that.
Coach, you know, something that I wanted to make note of is that it seems like the common denominator when teams play Buckeye Trail is physicality and size. Is that something that you definitely saw against Buckeye Trail?
Oh, yeah. Their linebackers were you know, they were big and they were physical. They were big up front. They were the biggest team that we've played size-wise. And they did some nice things. So we think they're a solid squad.
Yeah, Buckeye Trail sitting 10th in their region in Division 6. So they're right on the precipice of being in the playoffs. I think they win out, they probably get in,
right.
Does Buckeye Trail. But you get a nice win in week number five, and then comes the Ridgewood Generals to your place week number six. And that was the epic matchup that everybody was waiting for. Last year they knocked you off down there at their place to end your winning streak from a couple years, and regular season winning streak at least. And Ridgewood comes in. The game is close, back and forth. A fake punt kind of changed the momentum in that game, and they roll to a 31-9 win.
Yeah, it was a great atmosphere once again. You know, we got the utmost respect for Coach Slusser and their program. Sure. They're a very, very good team. I really think they have a great shot of winning the region.
Yeah.
You know, so they tested us big time. I think it was opposite as last year. I think we were the underdogs going in this year, you know, sure. And so we were trying to pull up off a little upset, and we were right there. I was proud of the way our kids played. We played hard, and near the end of the third quarter, you know, we had gotten 2-3 and outs in the second half. We had scored to make it 15-9, and they were punting 4th and 20, and we felt like we were going to drive down and score again.
Sure.
And we truly believed we were going to take the lead, and that fake punt, you know, it kind of took the sails out of us. But with every loss, you know, you want to learn from it.
Sure.
And one thing from that is we can't let that one play affect us, because we let that one play affect us for about the next 5 minutes, and what was a one-score game, all of a sudden you look up a scoreboard and you know, it's 31-9. So we got to learn from that, and you know, moving forward, we've tried to apply that and have a better next play mentality and move on.
In 13 years as a head coach, do you learn more from your team in a loss like that or a win?
I think you unfortunately learn more in a loss. You know, going back to 2013 when we made it to the regional championship game, I don't think we make it to the regional championship game unless we lost in week 7 and 8 to Manchester and Triway. You know, Triway, we were up 14 with like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and we end up losing that game. And there's some things that we saw that we really learned from, and we applied, that allowed us to come back and beat Bloom Carroll, you know, in the first round of the playoffs, and allowed us to pull out a win over Philo in the second round. So you have great opportunities to learn from losses, and the good thing about the Ridgewood game is, you know, it's the middle of the season that we get to learn these things. You know, if it's the in the playoffs, you're turning your stuff the following week. So nobody wants to lose, but sometimes it's good for kids to lose just to become better human beings too.
Sure.
You know, in life, and that's what this game's all about, is teaching life lessons. And you're not going to always win in life, and you got to be, sure, able to deal with losses.
And seeing a game that is that competitive against, we know Ridgewood's track record to this point, what was your biggest takeaway overall with your team's skill level after seeing you guys compete that closely to a team that a lot of people think is probably one of the better ones around?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we could take some confidence moving forward, because we were right there toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the area, you know, if not one of the best teams in Division 5 in the state. I wasn't too pleased with the way we ran the ball. They held us to just under 100 yards rushing. That has not happened in a long time, you know, for us. So, but that's because they're very good, and they're big up front. They were, sure, able to match us size-wise and physicality. But Ty stepped up in that game, and we were able to, you know, complete some big passes.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to need to do moving forward, is have both the running game and the passing game working.
So you put that game in your rearview mirror. You learned from a little bit. The message coming into the next week was a newcomers town team who is much improved over the last couple of years. We talked about it in our opening segment. This win their fifth game of the year last week. First time they've done that since 2014, I think. And a much improved team. But you guys get a huge win there, 34-0 shutout.
Yeah, I'm happy for newcomers town, you know, and Coach Gadd and their, sure, staff. For staying the course, and their kids for working so hard, you know, through the adversity they've had the last couple years. And we stress to our kids, hey, this isn't the newcomers town we've played the last couple years. You know, these guys have gotten a lot better, and our kids, you know, took that to heart, and they saw them on film, and you could see that they're better, they're more physical, they're doing things right, and we were fortunate to, you know, pull out a shutout that night.
Yeah, and you know, on top of that, one of the hardest things I would imagine, that when you go from a team that you guys know has been on a losing streak, you guys know that they might be, I don't want to say down and out, but it's almost like you're going up against an opponent that really has nothing to lose. Obviously, they had a couple wins coming in against you guys, but when a team is playing with that kind of attitude and playing with that amount of heart, as what I've talked about all year long with newcomers town, what's the biggest challenge in terms of trying to make sure that your players can match that intensity?
It's just that, make sure, you know, our kids are looking to go 1-0 each week and focusing on ourselves and our potential, you know, and becoming how good we can be. And we stressed that week that we could not overlook these guys. You know, we knew newcomers town was looking for a program changing victory. I mean, they beat, sure, some teams this year, but we know what that's like. You know, we beat Manchester in 2011 when nobody gave us us a shot. And that kind of, looking back, you know, Indy Valley football historians would say that was the point, you know, where we said we're not gonna get beat 63-0 by Manchester anymore. And so that's what Newcomerstown is looking for, you know, a program changing victory. So we told our kids they better be on guard and they better play their best, because they're a lot better.
Hey, you guys come off the mat for sure and got that win against Newcomerstown in week number 7, again 34-0 and a shutout to boot. So the defense did their job, the offense did their job, and then you move on, put that game behind you, and you move on to another tough test. And these games, you had to travel to the hill in Sugar Creek, always a tough place to play, the new turf up there. It's always a little different going up there. The wind, it's more windy, you know.
It's colder.
Yeah, it's just something about playing up there. And a couple years ago, they had grass still, and I remember the game was really, really close, and I think you guys pulled it out late, maybe with a late touchdown or two. But this year, the game was a little bit different. You go into an atmosphere that was, again, playoff-type atmosphere, and Garraway reeling, coming off of a tough loss to Ridgewood the prior week. And, you look into that, you know, how does a coach, or how do you approach a team coming off a loss like that, knowing, like, okay, they're going to be hungry, they're going to be angry. What was your message to the Braves last week?
Yeah, I mean, our message to them was we're going to get more than what they gave Ridgewood last week, you know,
sure.
because they're coming off a loss, and so they're going to be hungry. And as you said, it is tough playing up there on the hill. Prior to Friday, we'd only won one time, and that was a 13-0 game,
yeah.
In 17, the year we were undefeated. Had some good ones up there, you know, a couple years before that. In 14, we went for 2 to win it,
yeah,
at the end of the game,
yep,
and they stopped us.
They stopped. Was it,
yep,
Jake? They stopped.
It was Jake,
yeah,
that stopped, yep. They had Yockey.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a very good game. We got the utmost respect for Coach Walk and their program. We knew it was going to be a test going up there on the hill. I think our kids had a little bit extra to play for. On Friday night, our kids played very physical and really got after it, and it was a great night.
You guys are up 2 scores, getting ready to go to halftime, and all of a sudden, Garraway comes out, says, okay, we got some time on the clock, and they throw a pass, and Zach Love picks it off. Kind of changes that momentum going into the locker room.
Yeah, that was a big-time momentum changer, kind of reversed of what happened to us. Ridgewood the week before, yeah, or 2 weeks before, you know, they threw a, we drove down and scored to make it 14-7, and they had a little time on the clock, threw a pass, we picked it off, Zach Love returned it, you know, down to like the 40, and there was just under 10 seconds on the clock, and Ty hooked up with Trev for a touchdown, and you know, that then it went from 7-7 to 20-7, just like that, and we had the ball coming out in the second half and scored, you know, to open up the second half, to really open that game up. It was a closer game, you know, than what that score indicates.
There are sometimes, you know, wins and losses that define a season or define a team, and obviously there's still 2 weeks left in this season, so we're not looking past either of those games. But do you think that could be the biggest moment that your team has had to this point, up to this season, that Garraway win? I mean, it was easily the most dominant victory you guys have had.
Yeah, I mean, as far as moments go, it probably compares right there with Indian Creek, you know, the way that game ended. But I think it was the best we've played to this point in all three phases of the game, for sure.
And, of course, Coach, you guys get the win 42-13 over the Pirates. And that wraps up the first 8 weeks of the season. Of course, we have 2 weeks to talk about. We'll talk about week number 9 coming up with you towards the end of the show. But we are going to take a break, come back. We're going to welcome in the Indian Valley Brave captains, and we're going to welcome them into the show and get the kids a little time on the radio. And, of course, we're on Facebook Live as well, WTUZ, Big Z Sports on Facebook. Of course, Twitter, @Big_Z Sports as well. We'll be back with the Braves captains. Captains, after this, you're listening to Big Z Sports Extra Point right here on Z Country 99.9.
You're with Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ. You're with Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
Welcome back into the Big Z Sports Extra Point, presented by Michael Taylor, Allstate Insurance, Joe Geckler, Nick McWilliams in Hartzler's Quality Housing Studios. We're talking to the Indian Valley Braves tonight, and we are on Facebook Live as well, WTUZ, Big Z Sports on Facebook. So if you want to see the captains of the Indian Valley Braves here in the studio with us, jump on Facebook. You can watch the show on there as well. We have number 48, Noah Wells, number 27, Zach Love, number 4, Ty Shoestring Myers, and number 72, Colby Hartrick in the house. house with us tonight, and I had to get that nickname in there. Coach gave that to me. Sorry. So I may even call you that on the air when we do the game in Week 10, so we'll see see what happens.
You're going to be in his head now. Now he's going to be worried about that.
No, he won't. No, I won't.
Okay.
But we're going to start over with number 27, Zach Love. And Zach, you're a senior. Last year, you guys had a great season. This year, it's kind of, you know, you come into the season and the Indian Valley, the Braves don't know, the community don't know what the Braves have. But you guys coming in the season knew what you had. You know, talk about how much confidence or how much motivation that gave you. Everybody saying, oh, Indian Valley's not going to be that good this year. Indian Valley lost everybody. They're not going to be that good. What was the talk like in the locker room all in the offseason?
A lot of my friends last year were seniors, and I talked to them, and they all say that you're not going to be very good. But then I don't know. It just gives you mad.
Gives you some. You just want to prove them wrong, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's quite the friendships there. You guys aren't going to be very good. Oh, thanks. You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. and I'm sure that was a lot of Caden Hostetler and Cade Williams saying that to you. And I can call those guys out a little bit. But and Noah, I'll ask you the same thing, man. Coming into the season as a senior, you know, you guys, like I said, weren't tabbed to be that Indy Valley team of the last couple of years. And I think you put that chip on your shoulder.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We had everyone telling us that we weren't going to be very good. So, like Zach said, that just kind of like drove us to be better, and we worked harder for it.
Now, Colby Hartrick, your brother was on the team last year. You played with him the last couple of years, and Carson Hartrick. And you know, I'm sure there's been a lot of talk in the Hartrick household at dinner table, and saying, "Oh, well, see what you guys can do." And you guys are sitting in a good spot at 7-1 this year, and having a great season. So, your doubters out there, what do you want to say to the people that were doubting the Braves?
I don't really know. Just thanks for doubting us so we could work harder in the off season. And yeah, I don't know.
And that's fair.
That's a good answer. It's still a good answer.
Absolutely. I mean, and you know, we'll move over to Ty Myers now, the quarterback. And Ty, your first year being a quarterback, you come in and didn't get many snaps last year at quarterback. And you come in and you're throwing the ball well. A lot of your connections are to your brother Trevor. But you know what? When you get a chance to throw, you're throwing the ball well. How does it feel to be able to throw the ball in this offense? Probably coming into the season, you're thinking, man, we're going to run the ball 40, 50 times a game. But you've really done a nice job throwing the ball around the field.
It feels good just to know that we can do that, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah, you know, and I was told prior to having you guys on that you really want to run the ball more as a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
And there's a reason why you can't do that?
I don't know. They just don't want me to get hurt.
Okay. And your shoestrings have nothing to do with that?
No.
Okay. I got you. All right. So, guys, we always ask, you know, is the season, and I'll let anybody answer it who wants to answer it, and is the season going like you want? Obviously, the one blemish on there is the Ridgewood game. But is the season progressing, and you guys feel good heading in to the possible playoff run?
There's a lot of finger-pointing going on around here, if you couldn't imagine.
Yeah, it's going pretty well. We're happy with how it's going. We came in, obviously, mad, ready to prove everybody wrong, like you guys said. So to be 7-1, I think we've proved a couple people wrong.
I would agree with that. And Zach, I'm going to bring you in because you're hiding behind Noah over there. And, you know, you were a 2 years ago, you were a state champion in the pole vault. So that competition at the state level has probably really gotten you ready to play some football at the highest level. I mean, you're over 1,000 yards rushing already this year, only 8 games in. So you've had a good season in football, even though you battled through some injuries early on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, it's something to think about, though, when you guys are competing out there every Friday night against some very good competition. It's not a league that you're in that you can just take a week off. I mean, you have the Ridgewoods, you have Garaway, Newcomerstown's a lot better. Tuskegee Valley's always a physical game. And the non-conference games you guys play with Manchester and this year with Indian Creek, you guys are really tested coming into the playoff run here in week number 9, but now we'll have a little bit of fun with you. And, you know, is there something, and Zach, I'll ask you this question, I'll go around the room. Is there something a coach, you know, keep it clean. We don't want anything said, anything bad, but, and Coach Lank knows where I'm going with this, but is there anything funny that a coach says during practice that kind of like, oh my gosh, if he says that one more time, I'm just going to, you know, is there something, a funny statement that a coach says that just gets under your skin, or just it's the funniest thing ever?
When we're doing special teams, Coach Bolin, they always say, one more, one more.
Okay.
But we end up doing
10 more.
10 more.
All right. I got you. And Ty, how about you?
I'm going to have to say about the same thing as him, because every single time we go like 20 more times after he says one more.
Sure.
So.
All right. So you guys are seniors. Yeah, you've been around Coach Lank for the last 4 years. What is Coach Lank, and what has he done for you? Noah, I'll ask you. What has he done for you in your 4 years as an Indian Valley football player and as a student?
He's taught me at least some very good life lessons, and he's always been there for me, and has, I don't know, been like a great friend, I guess. Like,
sure,
more than a coach, I guess.
I got you.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I totally get that. And Colby, I'll ask you the same question. What has Coach Lank meant to you these past 4 years?
Coach Lank's meant a lot to me. He's always been a great role model, and he pushes us in the off season and making sure we're always working hard. And he really cares about everybody's grades too, making sure everybody makes their grades and is eligible. And yeah,
we're all straight A students.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, he's been a great role model for us.
And this is kind of for all of you, so anyone jump in, but I don't know. You guys were all pointing the fingers earlier. I don't know if you're going to want to jump in, but looking back throughout your entire careers to this point, any favorite moments that stand out above the rest so far?
Week 10, it would have been my sophomore year. We played Claymont, and there was 2 seconds left on the clock, and we ran roll right jig, and Cade rolled out and threw the ball, and I didn't even see anybody there at first, and Jarrett Swinterman just popped out and grabbed that for the win. It was awesome.
Anybody else?
Ty, Zach, Noah, anything? Same thing?
Yeah.
All right, so the Week 10 win against Claymont a couple of years ago at Kelly Field, you guys kind of get to play that game again this year, next week, but we're not going to look ahead. We're going to we're going to let you guys focus on Tuskegee Valley. But big thanks again to you guys coming in here, joining us, eating the food. Again, big thanks to Tenwood Tavern for feeding these guys and filling them up on chicken wings and fries, and there's a red velvet cake out there for you to take home or eat here. So there's all kind of dessert out there from Tenwood Tavern. Big thanks to them. But also, big thanks to the Indian Valley Braves captains for joining us here. Noah Wells, Zach Love, Ty Myers, and Colby Hartrick. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and we're going to talk with Coach Lancaster about this week's game in Tuskegee Valley. You listen to Big Z Sports Extra Point, presented by Michael Taylor, Allstate Insurance, right here on Z Country 99.9.
Don't touch that dial. The best coverage of high school sports will be right back. Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
Welcome back into the Big Z Sports Extra Point, presented by Michael Taylor, Allstate Insurance, Joe Geckler, Nick McWilliams. Again, big shout-out, big thank you to the Indian Valley Braves captains for joining us here in the studio. Noah Wells, Zach Love, Ty Myers, and Colby Hartrick. Of course, Ty's nickname now, everybody can call him Shoestring. So that's what we're going to call him. And there's a story behind that, but we won't get into that now. But we're welcome back in. Matt Lancaster, head football coach of the Indian Valley Braves. And Coach, you guys, you get through the first week, 8 weeks, and you're sitting at 7-1. We know what's on the horizon for you guys. You travel up to Tuskegee Valley this week, and a team that you beat 55-14 last year. A little bit of different team this year. They don't run the ball as much as they did last year, but they still do run it, and they run it pretty good. But they have a dynamic quarterback in Tanner Phillips that can actually throw the ball around the field a little bit.
Yeah, they're really close to 50-50 run to pass. So a lot different look from Tuskegee Valley with a new coach than what they've been the last year. So they do some things that really make you have to prepare and be ready for, and put you in a bind. And like you said, number four, the quarterback, looks like a really good athlete. And obviously they got, you know, Noah Love, who's started there, seems like forever, and is a tremendous player. And the Tesh kid, 28, is a good athlete as well, and they're big up front. So definitely not a team that we're overlooking, and definitely a team we're going to have to play really well to beat.
You know, something that I found interesting was I wasn't around for a while over the last few years, being off at college, then coming back, and something that was mentioned was that Tuskegee Valley is run. And then these last few weeks, yeah, we've seen what's the passing attack that's ridiculous. But, you know, when your team, when you have seniors who have been ingrained for so long that this is what this team is doing, and then it kind of switches there on, it kind of turns around a 180 there, so to speak. Is it kind of difficult to try to get them to get that in their heads when they're going up against that team a few years later?
You know, maybe a little bit. The kids are coming back, you know, as starters, and been used to a team doing something for so long. I guess it'd be the equivalent if we'd switch and go to the spread. You know, everybody
that'd be interesting.
That would be interesting, and I'd probably lose some coaches and some kids that would want to quit. But yeah, I mean. But once we, you know, the kids see them on film, the kids do a great job of watching film, and our kids have been really dedicated, you know, and getting to know who our opponent is. And, you know, once we get through the week of practice, I don't feel like that's that big of an issue.
Coach, looking at your team stats real quick, you guys are averaging about 32 points a game and running the ball with 275 yards a game and 32 touchdowns on the ground. Is that kind of what you expected coming into the year, is kind of the offense that you're looking at? And I mean, you're throwing it about 84 yards a game, but to me the passing yards kind of surprises me a little bit, because I thought you guys would run it 45, 50 times a game, just knowing the personnel you had.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were hoping to be. You know, we knew the strength of our offense coming back was going to be our offensive line. And, you know, our offensive line comes to work every day with their lunch pail, and they don't get a whole lot of credit, but they've been a solid group, you know. And we knew a couple of those guys coming back were going to be really solid for us. But as a whole unit, really proud of the offensive line. And Zach was going to be pretty good, you know, being behind Caden the last couple years. But Zach's a talented athlete and a really good running back for us. And then Shane stepping in. But as you said, we felt Ty could be pretty good, filling, you know, Cade Williams' shoes. And he stepped in and executed well for us up to this point.
You know, one player that I have to ask about, because I'd be upset with myself if I didn't. When's the last time that you guys had a kicker as consistent as Daniel Miller? I mean, and just as a freshman, too.
Yeah, it's hilarious, because in our first couple scrimmages, you know, when we'd go out there and work on that with our opponent, our fans were going nuts when he'd make a PAT. You know, and our fans still do. They get excited when we make a PAT, because that's been a problem for us for years. It's been almost embarrassing, you know. But it's great to have Daniel Miller. You know, he's just a freshman, and so he's only going to get better, and he's been a great addition.
And it's nice, though, next year he'll get to kick off turf.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. We just got to working on the finalized designs of the awesome. Of the turf, and so we're real excited.
So does that add about 10 yards to his range now, or are we going to see?
I don't know about that. I we'll see.
Coach, how is the progression of the stadium coming? Obviously, we all know that you guys passed the levy and going to get a new facility down there right by the school, which is really nice for you guys. Going to have turf, going to have a state-of-the-art facility. How's the progression, and how's the process going?
Well, Mr. Wentworth hasn't told me we're delayed, so and it's neat, because our practice field is right next to the stadium project where they're building it, so we're able to watch it every day. As a matter of fact, every day when we take a water break and the kids go over and get a drink, all the coaches walk over to see what happened
sure. That
day. You know, what steel came in, or electric companies there today. You know, it's pretty cool to see, and we're really excited. I'm excited for our kids, and we're so thankful to have a great community, you know, that's providing us for our kids. I was just thinking that today our kids are still getting dressed out of the trunks of their cars. You know, their bags and their equipment are all laying out in the parking lot, and I think it's going to be nice next year when they have an actual locker room, you know, to keep their stuff in and not have to take it home every day, and just little things like that. And having a facility to practice at
sure. Is
going to be, you know, just an incredible, you know, benefit that we haven't had. Our practice field is concrete when it's dry,
sure.
And it's, you know, a swamp when it's wet. So
yeah.
Having a consistent practice facility is going to be really great for our kids as well.
And if you look at this fall, it's not, if you remember last fall, how wet it was coming into week number 9 now. You guys will be on the road this week, but in week number 10, you're going to come back. And how's the field conditions at Kelly Field now as we come towards the end and heading into the playoffs?
I think it's been all right. Garraway, Coach Wallach and, their athletic director last week, we were supposed to play Garraway's middle school 7th, 8th, and 9th all at our place and the JV game in our place, and they graciously offered, hey, if you want to move those to our sure. turf field, we'd be more than happy to do that to help you guys save your field.
Awesome.
And so that was a great, a gracious thing for them to do, and we took them up on it. So I think our field's going to be okay. It's held up pretty well, and we haven't had as quite a wet season as we did last year.
Because I remember coming into week 11, it was pretty rough. That I believe you guys played on a Saturday night, if I remember right, last year. And it was pretty wet because we had rain all Friday night, all the way up probably till noon on Saturday. And it was pretty wet. But, coming up really to the last couple of games at Kelly Field, very sentimental to you, I'm sure, being there 13 years and going to kind of put a capper on Kelly Field this year and open up the new stadium next year.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, our kids really love that. I wasn't expecting as much last year. We talked to the kids about possibly moving our home playoff game, and ooh. I mean, they were very upset by that.
Sure.
So Mr. Love and I decided no matter what, we're playing it at home. That's what our kids want, and that's what they've earned. So it's going to be nice down the road, not even having to worry about that, every year.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, we appreciate you taking time to come in and join us here on the Extra Point, talking some Indian Valley Braves football, and we can't wait to see you guys again week number 10 on Thursday night next week against Claymont. Go get them this week. Don't look past Tuskegee Valley. We won't let you do that, but we'll see you week 10, and thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you guys. We appreciate all the coverage you give to Indy Valley and all the area high school football. It's great.
Thank you. We appreciate the kind words, and again, head coach Matt Lancaster joining us here to talk Indian Valley Braves football with us as they get ready for Tuskegee Valley here this coming week. The rest of the schedule for week number 9 of the high school football season, Sandy Valley, they travel down to Buckeye Trail at 7-1 against 6-2 Buckeye Trail. Ridgewood, they travel to Claymont, 8-0 versus 0-8. Zanesville, they travel up here to New Philadelphia. They take on the 8-0 Quakers, do the Blue Devils. Garraway, they go down to Newcomerstown to battle a feisty Trojans team. Garraway sitting at 6-2, Newcomerstown 5-3. Marietta and Dover, they battle this week. Marietta 4-4, Dover 5-3. Like we mentioned, Indian Valley and Tuskegee Valley go at it this week as well. East Canton and Strasburg, East Canton 3-5, Strasburg at 2-6. TCC and Malvern, TCC 3-5, and Malvern 4-4. Canton South at 2-6. They take on Carrollton, who is 0-8. West Holmes 3-5, Ashland 3-5. That should be a good one out in Ashland. And Clay Battelle, they travel up here to Conotton Valley. Clay Battelle, they're 4-3. Conotton Valley 3-5 on the season. That's going to be week number 9. That's this Friday night. Again, big thanks to Indy Valley head football coach Matt Lancaster and his four captains for joining us here on the Extra Point. Big Z Sports back on the air this Friday night right here on Z Country 99.9, beginning at 5:00 with the Wood Electric pregame show. Join Chris Kale, Nick McWilliams, and myself as we'll break down all the area games leading up to kickoff at 7:00. Then after the games, check out the area's most comprehensive postgame show presented by the Tuscarawas County Dairy Farmers. That's this Friday night of week 9 of the high school football season with Big Z Sports. A reminder, if you missed any or part of this show, you can find it on our podcast section at WTUZ.com or on Facebook, WTUZ Big Z Sports, and on Twitter at @Big_Z Sports. For Nick McWilliams, Coach Matt Lancaster, I'm Joe Geckler. We'll talk to you Friday night beginning at 5:00 right here on Z Country 99.9.
The Extra Point Show has been a broadcast of Big Z Sports, presented by Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance. Be sure to follow Big Z Sports on Twitter and Facebook, and tune in every Friday night from 5 to 11 p.m. for the best coverage of high school football in the area.